If not, open your Bibles, Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. Once you find your place there, I want you to go to Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter number 3 and Acts chapter number 4. I'm going to read from Revelation first. Revelation chapter 3, as most of you know, is involved in the seven churches of Asia. And it lists several of them in chapter 3 and some in chapter 2. And the latter one is the church of Laodicea. It's the last church age we'll see. When you read of the church of Laodicea, I just want to read one verse in verse number 17. The Bible says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of what? Nothing. And knowest not that thou art what? Wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Now, what they thought of themselves was a whole lot different than what God thought of them. They thought that they were in good shape. God says, "You don't understand. You're wretched, poor, blind. You don't understand the condition you're in." Tonight I want to preach upon this thought. What is your image gap? Your image gap is the image you see yourself and the image God sees you. What is your image gap? What image do you try to portray to everybody else? But what image does God see of you? Look back, if you would, in Acts chapter 4. Here we have the early church. And just as God was moving Israel through Canaan, and one time God had done some miraculous things as they crossed Jordan, they went to Jericho. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down, as we preached this morning. The very next place that they were to attack was the place called Ai, a little small place. Didn't think it needed any work, thought they had plenty of strength to take it, and ended up getting defeated. Joshua fell on his face, began to cry out to God. God told him to get up and told him they'd sin in camp. And it was a man by the name of Achan had taken things that God had forbidden him to take and hid them inside his tent. And you know the story and how that God opened up the or caused him to be killed. And somebody said that's pretty severe. Well, it was pretty severe, but God was taking Israel to new places. Now we're going to read about where some people lied about what they did. God struck them dead. This was the early church, and God was taking the church to new places. Beginning in verse 32, chapter 4, the Bible says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles were named Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land sold it, brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now notice that next little word. What is it? But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Why it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Now let me just say this. Those who don't believe the Trinity of God, the Son of God, the Father, and the Holy Ghost is all God. Here the Bible makes it clear. He lied to the Holy Ghost. He lied to God. Verse 5. And Ananias, hearing these things, these words, fell down, gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me, whether ye sold the land for so much? And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and found her dead, and carried her forth, buried her by her husband, and great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you just be with us. Lord, lead, guide, and direct. And Lord, we pray that you would just show us a truth that we could be able to hold on to here. And Lord, that we'd be able to hide into our hearts. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Tonight I want to look at this. And I was reading of an illustration that went with this. And there was a guy, he was a motorcycle daredevil in Las Vegas. His name, I wrote it down, was Butch Laswell. It was the first movie appearance he had. He had to jump over this casino, and there was a bridge there, and it was about 35 feet high, and so they were supposed to clear it, or 38 or something, and they were supposed to clear it by about 10 feet. And so it come time for him to jump. And there was a crosswind coming pretty strong. And he looked, and there was a crowd out there. And so he knew that it'd be hard for him to jump. He had estimated to drive his bike at 70 mile an hour and jump and clear it by 10 feet. And so he revved it up to about 85 because of the crosswind. And he decided he's going to go ahead and jump because he wanted to keep his image up. He didn't want to let people down and let them not think of him as they thought of him. As a daredevil. Well, needless to say, he jumped and he killed himself. All to keep his image up. You know, I was thinking of how many people in Hollywood, how many politicians, how many companies pays billions and billions of dollars to create an image that's not necessarily the soul. I see some of the images of people in Hollywood, and I see the real Hollywood person. Don't have much for them. The point is sometimes we care and we worry too much about what other people think about us.
Amen.
Our image, and we try to present an image that's not real. We have an image gap sometimes. We have an image gap of what we portray to be and what God really sees us as. Tonight I want to look, as we look at this couple in the church, and I want you to notice, and you say, well, you know, I know Hollywood, they spend millions of dollars and they come out with all these designer dresses and all these diamonds and all this and makeup, and they think they're $1 million and all this. But you know, sometimes we're just as bad. The cars we drive, the houses we buy, the clothes we wear, and boys, I'm going to hit on you, the shoes you buy. Well, I can hit on ladies too.
We do it for images. You go buy a $150 pair of shoes. Let me let you on a secret. You don't jump any higher. You don't run any faster. You think you do. I know. I see your doubts back there. Let me tell you what you do. My point is this. Images. I saw one guy one time. He come, and most of you seen this, where they started wearing these baggy pants. And they had to walk because they let their pants come down here and they spread their legs and they walk like this to keep their pants up and they hold them. And this guy was walking. I asked him one time, and it makes me sick. Chris knows it burns me up. And I went up to him. I said, "Why do you do that?" I said, "Do you know how stupid that looks?" He said, "Everybody else does it." I said, "No, I don't do it." I said, "Why do you do it?" I was watching you walk across the street, and you sat there and had to hold your pants the whole time you walked. You couldn't even run across, get out in front of the car because of the way you was walking. He's worried about his image. Well, some guy come out, I think he's a Marine sergeant, come out with a song a while back about it and said, "You look like a fool." And I agree with him. You look like a fool when you wear them like that. But my point is this, images. And you know, we condemn the world sometimes for their images and keeping up an image. But sometimes we're just as bad. Sometimes we look upon ourselves, and here we find, as we get into this, we find that Ananias and Sapphira, they had an image they wanted to present. Somebody said, "Well, where did that come from?" Can I tell you this? It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. It was when pride comes into our lives. We all have a nature. The Bible says that when we are tempted, we are drawn away by our own what? The lust is the image we want to portray. The things that we want to do. And of course, lust, when it's conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. And so therefore, what we find is, listen, it's not only in Hollywood, it's in our churches. As a matter of fact, I remember when one guy, he pastors one of the churches around here, and he was running for an office, and he come over, and he had about 8 or 10 older ladies with him. And they was giggling like little school kids. He's calling them honey bunch and baby and all that. And he's flattering them with a few words here and there. They just giggling. And I thought, you know, that's exactly what it means when it talks about that he carries silly women laden away. And what he was doing, getting them to do his bidding for him, and he was just playing on them. Playing on little images that he played with them on. He was stroking their pride. You know, sometimes I've seen places where churches try to run it, and they want to bring everybody up, and they want to praise them, they want to give their name. And I know some of you have been some places around here where one guy, he had a lot of money, and every time he go to any church anywhere, he get up, and all he tell about is where he got the money and how God allowed him take a penny and go up to $1 billion or something like that. Everywhere I ever saw him at, he say that. He just brag on himself. Sometimes pastors, they try to build a church by bragging on people, but the Bible says, "Let not your left hand know what your right hand's doing." If you want that kind of glory, you get it here. If you want to do something for God and not be praised here, you get your glory there. And what you need to do is understand that what God wants you to do is not do it for your image. Do it for His glory. When you get up here and you sing because you think you're so good, you're doing it for your image. When you get up here and humbly want to praise God and got a song to sing, you do it for His glory.
Amen.
God wants it for His glory. Same way with preaching. Now, Brother Eric would agree with me. I've went to some preaching conferences and I've left there feeling more dejected and rejected, and I feel more depressed when I leave there than I did before I went. You could tell everything that was preaching the flesh. You could tell there's no spirit in there, no love, nothing. Then you go some places and boy, God just stirs your heart and you just want to charge out of there and you just want to get back to work. But you know what we need to do is we need to understand that sometimes we allow images and we want to do things for image sake, not for God's sake. And so here we get, and by the way, we need to be very careful. I get tired of this too. There are three things that you need to understand about the Word of God. The Word of God brings to us precepts. Precepts is God's commandments. When God says, thou shalt and thou shalt not, it's pretty clear. That's where it starts, that's where it stops. Then there's principles. God teaches principles through His Word. There are certain principles that is applied that's easily seen in the Word of God. Then there's preferences. But you need to be careful, because I see this happen a lot of times, that you don't make your preference everybody else's precepts. You need to be careful, just because that's your preference doesn't mean it's everybody else's preference. Don't put Jesus in a box. They tried to do it all the time and He'd walk out of it because they couldn't put Jesus in a box. And what you need to understand is this. You look at your image gap, not everybody else's image gap. You examine your own. Now let's look just a few moments at this couple. The first thing I want you to notice is that they didn't believe that the Holy Spirit of God was going to do anything at what they were doing. Now, why did they do it? That's why I read the first part of chapter, or last part of chapter 4. In the early church, there was people that had possessions. There was people that had houses and lands and so forth. And the church was of such one mind and of one accord and one heart that when some of the members saw others not having something, they would take what they had and sell it and bring it and lay the money at the apostles' feet. They wasn't doing it for praise. They was doing it for the fact that they wanted people to be able to have the things they needed. They loved their brethren. They loved the church. They loved the Lord. And so therefore, they felt compelled, and they would come and do it. Now the Bible points out that Barnabas was one that did it. And of course, we know that he went on the first missionary trip with Paul, but he went and he sold his possessions. Now, what Ananias and Sapphira did was this. They began to watch. And boy, people was talking good about Barnabas. They was talking good about some of these that sold everything and laid them at the apostles' feet. And guess what they wanted? They wanted the same thing they were getting. And so what happened here, we find, as the Bible says in chapter 5, in verse number 1, as I pointed out, but. Now, they were doing this, but these two decided to do something else. They were going to kind of take a little shortcut. Now, what they did was this. They recognized the impression that these people were making upon other people in the church. And so they wanted to call attention to themselves. They wasn't concerned about the needs of the church. They was concerned about the image that they would be portrayed whenever they laid the money at the apostles' feet. They didn't think God would do anything about it. Sometimes I see someone out, and the other day Chris and I saw somebody and we didn't recognize them. Now don't get offended. They did a facelift. Didn't recognize them. I've often thought about several of the movie stars that's had these facelifts. And man, you look on them. They have these things because they want to fool people. Image. Somebody said, well, I often tell guys this. I said, listen, You're dating girl, what you do is you go knock on the door, catch her before she puts on all her makeup. That way you know exactly what she looks like. But I'm just joking, by the way. But it's images. And I looked and I thought this. You know, when you're 70, 75 year old, you ought to have a few wrinkles. You ought to have a little gray hair. It happens to the best of us. The point being, sometimes we try to portray images not true. Ananias and Sapphira wanted someone to think something of them that was not factual. And so what they did was they came and they pretended like they'd sold all everything they had, and they brought it all and dedicated it all to God. They were doing it. It wasn't greed that they kept the money. It was hypocrisy. It was a recognition. It was the image that they wanted to portray. They wanted to be looked upon as the rest of the people that was doing that, and so therefore they came. Now, sometimes people make this statement. You ever heard anybody say this? I'll take that secret to my grave. Can I tell you, in the grave, there is no secrets? You may think it's a secret, but it won't be a secret. The Bible says God has a way of dealing with secrets. They'll be shouted from the housetops. Every secret will be revealed. Somebody said, well, I'll take that secret to my grave. Psalms chapter 139 says every time you sit down, God knows it. Every time you rise up, God knows it. Every time you have a thought afar off, God knows it. Every time you have a murmur out coming out of your lips, lo, God knows it. He knows everything.
Amen.
There is no secret with God. Amen. And so Ananias and Sapphira here, they thought that they would keep a secret from God. Now, if they'd come and they just confessed, God's faithful and just, forgive us our sins and cleanse of all unrighteousness. But that's not what they chose to do. I was reading where Babe Ruth one time, he struck out. This umpire called him strike three, and Babe Ruth got all mad about it. He turned, he said, 40,000 people knows that that was a ball, you tomato head. That's what he called him. And the umpire looked at him and said, maybe so, but my opinion is the only one that counts. And can I say this? In the end, God's opinion is the only one going to count.
Right.
It's not the image you portray to somebody else. It's not what you think of yourself, but it's what God thinks of you.
Amen.
And so the gap, the farther that you get this image gap between who other people think you are, who you think you are, and who God thinks you are, the farther you get away from God.
Right.
Paul said he was the chiefest of all sinners. And when I read that and look at Paul's life, I really get humbled because I realize how far I am away from God. And so therefore, we need to understand that there'll be no secrets with God because he knows it. You say, well, I got by with it and took it to my grave. Well, it'll get brought up in your grave and God will make it. Not only that, but also, they craved this reputation. Now, the problem was this. I've seen people get mad at church because someone got a little praise and they didn't get praise. What does that say about you? If you come to church just to have somebody point you out and praise you, what does that say? Do you understand that we're all here because of one reason? You know what that is? The mercy and grace of God through Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for Christ, nobody here would be able to say anything. So nobody needs to tilt their halo just right. We need to understand we're sinners saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
Nothing more, nothing less. Now here, Ananias and Sapphira, what they did was they wanted to get an image. They wanted to get a reputation, but they didn't want to earn it. Instead of going out and selling what they had, they sold it, but they kept some back. And they just wanted the image of what everybody else was getting. They wanted flattery. They wanted reputation. But they wanted to make shortcuts for it. Now listen. People want a spiritual a reputation, but they don't want to be spiritual. They will make pretense. The church of Laodicea makes a spiritual pretense. Have you ever been a place and you just felt like you met somebody and you just felt like they were a fraud? You watch them, you see them, and you watch your actions and you just feel like there's nothing at all to them. So what you need to understand is Ananias Sapphira was that way. You know, I was thinking a while back, they got to be this craze. People wear these little bracelets, WWJD. Y'all seen them? You know what they meant? What would Jesus do? But yet sometimes you see everything and it's like seeing sometimes on TV talking about praying, and you think, and you watch your life and they just flip-flop, the same voice that prays would just be cursing the next few minutes. You think, how can that voice pray? And sometimes they wear bracelets and they think that wearing that bracelet's going to lift their spiritual image up. You do it by your reputation, but you do it by your spiritual life.
Amen.
The motive of what they were doing. They wanted to create a false image. Ananias and Sapphira did. Now notice if you would in chapter 5 real quickly. Notice in verse 3. The Bible says this. And Peter said unto Ananias, why hath what? Satan filled thy heart. You see, when you're saved, Satan can't possess your soul. He can't keep you from going to heaven. But he can influence you.
Yeah.
And he can come in, he can influence you. And you know the first chord that he always picks at us? The same chord that he got picked. What was it that cast him out of heaven? What was the main thing he had? Pride. You know what God hates more than anything else? A proud look. You know where he strokes us? Our pride. And I tell you what, somebody get their pride hurt a little bit, man, they head out that door just fast as they can head out. Boy, they get their feelings hurt a little bit. Man, they just, all of a sudden, I've had them sit there and tell me they love me on the way out and then go out and just talk about me like a dog. I've seen people just turn. They get their feelings hurt just the least little thing and all of a sudden, buddy, just, they quit. They quit church. They don't have nothing to do with nothing. And somehow they feel justified. You know what they did? If they were truly saved, they gave Satan place to come in. And boy, when he comes in, he will mess you up. And so here they came in, and let me say this before I close. Sin always likes to have fellowship. Ananias, the first thing he did was he talked to his wife. And they conceived, and it wasn't something just sprung up. It was feelings that they had, and they generated those, and she went along with him. Now imagine what the story may have been had she stood up to her husband and said, no, we shouldn't do that. If we're going to say we sold the whole thing, let's sell the whole thing and give it to them. But she didn't. And you know the amazing thing is, most of the time what we do is we find people that agrees with us. That allows our image to continue doing the things that we want to do. But what we have to understand is this. We have to understand that our image, the only image that counts, is the one that God has. So tonight I want to ask you this. I want you to think about it. Ananias and Sapphira, they came. They made this pretense offer their image. And when they sat there, they pretended to be something they weren't. God just struck them dead. I've had people say, why did God do that? Because he wanted fear to come upon the church. He wanted the church to understand the importance that that image was not to be. You say, well, the last church is going to be that way. And you know what God's going to do with them? Spew them out of his mouth. The Bible says it makes them sick. Listen, we need to quit being worrying so much about what everybody else thinks.
Amen. That's right.
Somebody said, well, and I know Brother Eric I'll pick on him tonight. I don't get a chance to pick on him a lot. He can verify this. As a preacher, everybody wants to put you in your boxes. Everybody wants to second guess whatever decisions you make. And I know probably weighed heavy on you all to come back. And I know you shared that with us. I think that was strictly between you and God. I'm not going to comment about it because I wasn't there and didn't walk on those shoes. Didn't faze me a bit. But I know this. We need to be very careful. And I know sometimes you might get caught up and say, I wonder what everybody's thinking. Sometimes I catch myself doing that. Quit worrying about what everybody else is thinking. There's only one that counts. So therefore, you need to understand this. What is your image gap? The one you're trying to portray to everybody else. Wouldn't it be sad? Wouldn't it be sad to sit here? Now you got up and sung tonight, to get up and sing in front of this church and sit here and then die and go to hell. Wouldn't that be a sad thing to do? Offer an image? How sad is that? And you know something? People worrying about what other people think is going to send more people to hell than probably anything else because they are too concerned with their image. And in this day and time, what we have is we have so many putting on an image. They have no substance. It does them no good. Tonight, let me ask you this. What is your image gap? What you think of your image, what other people sees in you, and what God sees in you. Where is your image gap? How wide is that gap? I was thinking, you heard me preach many times. I try to preach this truth. Folks, there's no big I's and little U's here. We're all sinners saved by the grace of God. And no one's got nothing to brag on but Jesus. And if you got something to brag on him. Otherwise, you have nothing to say that God is interested in. So tonight, let me ask you this. Do you have an image gap? Now listen. The wider that gap gets, the more opportunity Satan's going to come. And he's going to try to influence you. Maybe tonight you need to come, however God may lead you as we stand. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. And God's dealt with your heart about your salvation. You need to come tonight. Would you obey? What page? 154. Would you come? Let him have his way.